Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 8, Majjalila, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. Today we're reading text number 80 and 81. So the word meanings, na, not, I am this, Shriya, of the goddess of fortune, Ange, on the chest, U, alas, Nitantarate, who is very intimately related, Prasada, the favor, Swa, of the heavenly planets, Yoshitam, of women, Nalina, of the lotus flower, Gandha, having the aroma, Rucham, and bodily luster, Kutaha, much less, Anya, others, Rasa Utsave, in the festival of the Rasa dance, Asya, of Lord Sri Krishna, Bhuja Danda, by the arms, Grihita, embraced, Kanta, their necks, Labdha Ashisham, who achieved such a blessing, Ya, which Udagat became manifest Brajasundarinam of the beautiful gopis, the transcendental girls of Brajapuni. Nayam Sriyonga Unitantarate Prasada Swaryo shitam nalina gandha rucham kutonya
Swaryo shitam nalina gandha rucham kutonya
Rasot savesya puja danda gihita kanta
Rasot savesya puja danda gihita kanta
Labdha shisham yaduragar braja sundarinam Nayam Sriyonga Unitantarate Prasada
Nayam Sriyonga Unitantarate Prasada
Swaryo Shitam Nalina Ghanda Rucham Putonya
Swaryo Shitam Nalina Ghanda Rucham Putonya
Rasot Savesya Puja Danda Grihita Kanta Labdha shisham yaduragar raja sundarinam Nayam sriyonga unitantarate prasada Swaryo shitam nalina gandha rucham kutonya Rasot Savesya Puja Danda Grihita Kanta
Rasot Savesya Puja Danda Grihita Kanta
Labdha Shisham Yaduragad Vrajasundarinam
Labdha Shisham Yaduragad
Yashada. Swarya Shitam Nalina Gambaru Cham Kukonya. Rasut Savesya Vidanda Grihita Kanta. Labha Shisham Yaduraga Vraja Sundarinam. Ladies, Nayam Siyonga Unikanta Rate Prasada. Swayor Shitam Nalina Gandha Rucham Kutonya. Rasut Savesya Pujadanda Grihita Kanta. Labha Shishanya Udaga Vajasundarinam. Translation: when Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women, who are very beautiful according to the material estimation. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse, Bhagavatam 10:47-60, was spoken by Uddhava when he visited Sri Vrindavan to deliver a message from Krishna to the gopis. Uddhava remained in Vrindavan to observe the movements of the gopis there. When he saw the ecstatic love for Krishna and separation manifested by the gopis, he appreciated their supreme love and therefore expressed his feelings in this verse. He admitted that the fortune of the gopis could not be compared even to the fortune of the goddess of fortune, to say nothing of the beautiful girls in the heavenly planets. In text 81, Tasam abhirabhuch chauri smayamana mukham bujaha Pitambara dhara sraghvi sakshan manmata manmata. Suddenly, due to the gopis' feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among them dressed in yellow garments, wearing a flower garland. His lotus face was smiling, and he was directly attracting the mind of Cupid. Purport. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-2. When the Rasa dance was going on, Krishna suddenly disappeared, and the gopis became so overwhelmed due to his separation and their intense love for him that Krishna was obliged to appear again. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is, of course, a very important part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya's talks with Ramananda Rai. So we've been progressing along higher and higher states of spiritual realization and ecstasy, but we finally arrived at the conjugal rasa. So now from here, much more will be said about this. Word, there's the Sanskrit word that we use for this rasa it just means sweet, madhurya. Just like ujvala means effulgent, and madhurya means sweet. So it's the sweet rasa or the effulgent rasa. Like we say, dasya, well, dasya, it's servant. That's pretty clear. But the highest rasa, the word is just, it's used as sweet, the sweet one. Of course, it's also called the adi rasa, the original rasa, because Krishna's original relationship is with Srimati Radharani, his ladini shakti, his internal potency. So now we're hearing about this, and we're hearing this verse today. It's an important verse. It's quoted quite often in our books. Uddhava was visiting Vrindavan. He went there. Krishna asked him to go. Krishna was living in Mathura that time. You know, first, of course, Krishna was in Vrindavan. Then he lived for some time in Mathura. Then when they were, Mathura was getting attacked too much, so then Krishna built his city in the sea to protect the Yadu dynasty and protect the inhabitants of Mathura, who were always being disturbed by attacks by the demons. So during that time when Krishna was in Mathura, he remembered his promise to the devotees in Vrindavan that he would return there. He knew that they were suffering in separation from him. So he wanted to go in some way. So he went in his sort of second self, Uddhava. Uddhava is Krishna's cousin, first cousin, and he looks just like Krishna. And of course, he's very, very intimate devotee of Krishna. He's Krishna's advisor and close friend, really close friend of Krishna's, not only cousin, but close friend. So they have a very intimate relationship, and Krishna regards him very highly. In the 11th canto, we have the Uddhava Gita. Krishna, he chose Uddhava to speak to before he left this planet. He wanted to give instructions for someone to pass on to others, especially great sages in the Himalayas. So he chose Uddhava to be the person to receive that. There's a verse in that section of the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto where Krishna says that no one is dearer to me than you are. Not Shiva, not, I forget, he lists different personalities. No one. And there's another verse where Krishna says, Uddhava is not in any way different from me. So Uddhava is highly qualified because of his intimate relationship with Krishna. So Krishna chose him to go to Vrindavan to deliver a message to the gopis especially, but also the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, including Nanda and Yashoda. So Uddhava is described in the Bhagavatam. He went there on his mission. Of course, Uddhava is an outsider. He didn't grow up with Krishna in Vrindavan. So he's witnessing now what is Vrindavan. So he's entering, he happens to arrive just at sunset. That's a special time of day in Vrindavan. Because all the cows are coming home, the cows and the cowherd boys are coming home from the forest. So there's dust everywhere. So no one saw Uddhava arrive because there was too much dust in the air. But he was able to see what was going on there. Calves were running for their mothers. The mothers' milk bags were full, and the calves were excited. Now our mother's coming to give us some milk, and they're running all over the place. And of course, Krishna and the cowherd boys, they look so beautiful, covered by the dust. It's a kind of ornament, covered by the dust of the cows. And just the whole atmosphere of Vrindavan. Says that the village of Vrindavan too was so extraordinarily beautiful. Uddhava was just amazed to see how beautiful. He's coming from the city, so he's seeing this country place. It's so beautiful. The streets, they're lined with ghee lamps and incense. So Uddhava, he arrived there, and then he first, of course, he went to the home of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and he saw how they were so much in separation from Krishna. And he spent the whole evening talking with them, especially with Nanda Maharaj. Mother Yashoda, not so much. She's just out of her mind, basically. She pretty much just can't do anything. She's in such transcendental ecstasy and separation from Krishna. So some exchange with her, but mostly he spent a lot of time speaking with Nanda Maharaj about Krishna. And then the next morning, the gopis are getting up early, do their duties, and they see this chariot in front of Nanda Maharaj's home. And they're thinking, is that Akrura? Has Akrura come back again? That rascal Akrura took Krishna away. Then they see Uddhava comes out and they say, oh, looks just like Krishna. Who is that? He's described there as being very handsome. And he looks just, and he's even wearing Krishna's clothes. What? Who is this? So they go, they're all excited. Of course, the gopis are all young girls. They just run up to him. This is one of the features of Uddhava's visit, is that the gopis, they tend to do things in secret. Actually, they do that with Uddhava too, but there's more, they kind of come out in the open. So they run to Uddhava and they ask him. And they realize, oh, he must have come from Krishna. He looks just like Krishna. He must have come from Krishna with some message. So they're all excited. So they run up to him and they say, they take him away. Come on, let's go. We have to go somewhere else. So they take him into the forest of Vrindavan and they start asking him about Krishna. They start talking about Krishna. Of course, that's all they do. All they do is talk about Krishna. So they're talking about Krishna. And they wanted to go to a secret place so that where they could just let it all out. And they didn't feel shy around Uddhava. They was just, he was like one of them immediately, you might say. They accepted him into their company and revealed all the intimate things they couldn't necessarily reveal to others in Vrindavan. So they're talking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, talking about his pastimes, except one gopi. She's not part of the group. A certain gopi, Kachit, a certain gopi. And the acharyas, by quoting other scriptures, tell us that was Srimati Radharani. Meanwhile, she's off on the side talking to a bumblebee, like a crazy woman. So that, of course, the song of the bumblebee, that's in that chapter, Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan. There are two chapters, his arrival and then his meeting with the gopis. So Radharani, of course, she's scolding Krishna, complaining about Krishna, how he broke her heart and stole her heart and then left and saying so many bad things about him. And then the bee leaves and she says, oh no, what, uh-oh, he's going to tell Krishna what I've been saying. He gets really nervous. Then the bee comes back and she starts talking more nicely about Krishna. So Uddhava, he observes all of this. And he's just amazed. Of course, Krishna had more than one reason to send Uddhava there. One reason was to console the residents of Vrindavan. How are they consoled? Of course, they're consoled when they talk about Krishna. That's their bhava, their ecstasy. It's actually said by the acharyas that one thing, Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. So even though he apparently is gone, he's still there. And where is he? He's in the hearts of his devotees. And that's called the bhava-rupa. That's considered the highest form of Krishna, the form that's in the heart of his devotees. So when Uddhava, an outsider, arrives, and everyone in Vrindavan, they just want to talk about Krishna. So now they have this new person. It's like some new devotee comes and you get a chance to talk to them. Things know that everybody else knows. So they all know so much about Krishna. Of course, they're always talking about Krishna. But Uddhava stayed there for several months. So he did Braj Mandal Parikrama. They took him here and there in Vrindavan because they were so excited. Oh, look, Krishna over here. This is what Krishna did. And then we used to go to this place over here. And we did this. And Krishna did this here. And Krishna did this here. So that's all he was hearing. So Uddhava, he's seeing this, of course, with the gopis, and it's the most intense. He starts glorifying them, telling them, oh, you've attained the goal of life. You know, great yogis try to get love of, you know, attain Krishna, but you've gotten it. They don't want to hear that, of course. They're not interested in hearing that. So that after he speaks to them for a while, then Uddhava, he composes some songs to six verses to glorify the gopis. And this is one of those six verses. They're there in the 10th canto. Nayam Shri Onga Unitan Tarite. The gopis are so fortunate. They have a fortune that even the goddess of fortune didn't get. She's the goddess of fortune, but she was never got this blessing. She's on the chest of the Lord, or she's represented on the chest of the Lord with the Sri Vatsa, but she's usually massaging his feet. In the Rasa dance, Krishna had his arms around the gopis. Rasotsavesya bujadanda grihita kanta. This point about the goddess of fortune is brought up in different places. One notable place is when Lord Chaitanya was in South India and he was talking with Venkatabhatta. So Venkatabhatta was a devotee of Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan. So Krishna had some, or Lord Chaitanya had some talks with him, and Lord Chaitanya was establishing the supremacy of Krishna. It was a nice exchange, a friendly mood. Lord Chaitanya was sort of teasing him in certain ways. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, why does your goddess of fortune want to enter into the rasa dance, to be with Krishna? She's the wife of Narayan, and she wants to be with Krishna. So Venkatabhatta says, well, there's no problem there. It's Narayan, he's just a different form, so it's not that she's cheating, committing adultery or anything, it's the same person. And Krishna said, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, that's true, but why could she not enter into the rasa dance? So Lord Chaitanya, with this argument, showed that actually Krishna was superior to Narayan, because Narayan's consort cannot enter into the rasa dance. So the reason for that is, this comes up later, this verse I said is quoted here and there. Now we're on text 80 in this chapter. This is a long chapter, so text 200 and something, 253 I think it is, or quite a ways away. That's all this conjugal rasa is spoken about a lot here. So there it's described, or Ramananda Rai describes how the goddess of fortune, one has to have a certain bhava, certain relationship, love, kind of love, a specific kind of love for Krishna in this conjugal relationship. All kinds of formality must be gone and so on, and completely giving up everything. The gopis, of course, this is their gopis' greatest qualification. They just gave up everything. Just imagine what happened. They gave up everything. They heard Krishna's flute. And what happens when Krishna plays his flute is just irresistible. Whatever they're doing, they just have to leave it. So they put their baby down and they just walk out the door. They just drop everything. Milk's boiling over, whatever. Because the flute is just takes over their mind. And they don't care. They're supposed to be these chaste girls or chained, according to all Vedic standards. And they're just young girls. But they go, and then they go into the woods at night. Just gave up everything. And they get there, and Krishna says, what are you doing here? Go home. What are you doing here? And they're, whoa, Krishna, how could you do that? But still, of course, Ashlishyava Paratam Pinashtumam, whether Krishna embraces us or kicks us, whatever he does, we just love him. Even when Radharani was talking to the bumblebee, saying all these bad things about Krishna, and then she said, but the thing is, I can't stop talking about him. He does all these bad things, but I can't stop talking about him. So anyway, the goddess of fortune is described that she couldn't enter. She was missing something. And that is, in fact, there's, I think it's there. I think it's there. I don't have it. Well, I could look it up. But it's either there in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It says that she tried many times to enter the rasa dance. I think it says hundreds of times. But the problem was, she wanted to go as the goddess of fortune into the rasa lila. So it's explained that as opposed to Lakshmi Devi, the sages who wanted to have a conjugal relationship with Krishna, they gave, were willing to give up their bodies and take birth in Vrindavan as cowherd girls. That's what they did. They had no attachment to their muni forms. They were willing to become gopis in Vrindavan, eager to become gopis in Vrindavan, to enter into the rasa dance. So this is an extraordinary, just imagine, the goddess of fortune, she can't get this favor that the gopis are getting. She herself also says this. There's another, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the residents of Jambudweep offer prayers. That's a nice survey of different devotees in that chapter. Hanuman offers prayers, and Prahlad offers prayers, and because they are leaders of different groups of devotees in different places in Jambudweep. So Lakshmi Devi also, she offers prayers. Do I have it here? I think I have it here. I also wanted to mention these six prayers that Uddhava offered, he offers them again in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in Vrindavan. He's there again. And he recites those prayers. And Sanatana Goswami says, he's quoting the Bhagavatam to give the words more authority. They're his words in the Bhagavatam, but they have more authority because he's quoting the Bhagavatam. So he's saying the same prayers there again in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, let's see. Oh no, I'm not seeing it. I guess I don't have it. Anyway, so that was another place where the goddess of fortune, she says how she wants to get blessing, more intimate association with Krishna. Oh, here it is. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, she says, O infallible one, your lotus palm is the source of all benediction. Therefore, your pure devotees worship it, and you very mercifully place your hand on their heads. I wish that you may also place your hand on my head. So although you already bear my insignia of golden streaks on your chest, I regard this honor as merely a kind of false prestige for me. You show your real mercy to your devotees, not to me. Of course, you are the supreme absolute controller, and no one can understand your motives. That's 5.18.23. So it seems that there's a certain lack of intimacy between Lakshmi and Narayan, an intimacy that's there in the higher, you can say, higher devotees. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes practically the whole discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Venkatabhatta. So in that discussion, this verse comes up again, the one that we read today, Nayam Sriyonga Unatanta Rite Prasada. That discussion came up with Venkatabhatta, that verse, and it came up again in this purport. And there it said that there is a sense in which Goddess Lakshmi did get the favor of Krishna. And this verse is quoted from the Brihad Gautamiya Tantra. It's also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Devi Krishna Mayi Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mayi Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para. So in this verse, I'll read the translation. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. So she's also Sri, the goddess of fortune, because she's the origin of all the goddesses of fortune. Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. She's the origin and the, what does it say here? The central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is a primeval internal potency of the Lord. So all these different places this verse comes up. And also another time it comes up in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is speaking with Vallabhacharya, as he's known today. Sort of mixed relationship with Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya was somewhat proud of his learning. So he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He started glorifying Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya thought, he thinks he's very learned, and so let me bring his pride down a little bit. So Lord Chaitanya started talking about his devotees, saying, oh, the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he's my teacher in philosophy. And forget, he mentioned different devotees and how they're teaching him, how wonderful how elevated these devotees were. And Ramananda Rai, he teaches me everything there is to know about the conjugal rasa. And then Lord Chaitanya starts talking about some of the things he learned from Ramananda Rai. And one of those things is this verse, this point about Goddess Lakshmi, and this verse again. So this verse comes up again in the context of that. So Vallabhacharya had some realization after that. Oh, he felt, yes, the Lord is telling me I need to take shelter of the devotees. This is so important. Oh, here it is. Here's the verse I was mentioning about Lakshmi's attempts. This is from the Brihadbhagavatamrita. The Lord's rasa dance discloses the most confidential essence of his godhood. It embodies the perfection of everything most dear to him. It reveals the final limit of his supremacy and sweetness. The goddess Lakshmi couldn't enter that dance, even after aspiring to do so in hundreds of attempts. So, Nayam Shriyonga Unitantar Te Prasada. Nice verse about the exquisite characteristics of the gopis by which they are able to attract Krishna and have an association with him that no one else can even think of. One of Uddhava's other prayers, in these six prayers that I mentioned, the next one, is it next one? Yeah, I think it's the next one. Asam aho charanarenu jisham aham sham vrindavane kimapi gulmalatau shadinam. Yad dusya jam arya swajanam aryapatam chahitva pejur mukunda paradim swagatim vyanakti ashuti bivam rigyam. So that's the famous verse where Uddhava says, just let me take birth as a creeper or blade of grass outside Vrindavan. So when the gopis come and go, I'll get their dust on my heads. On my head. I get the dust of their lotus feet on my head. I was singing, when I hear something like this, I think, well, that's nice. But the fact is, he's really thinking like that. That's really what he wants. He only wants to be a blade of grass or a bush outside Vrindavan so the gopis will step on him and he'll get their dust on his head. That's his aspiration. This is Uddhava. He's so elevated. Such an exalted person. In fact, one of the prayers, Uddhava glorifies the gopis as, you know, these are just simple cowherd girls. Generally we think that, there's a verse that mentions Brahma or great brahmanas. You'd think maybe they'd really get the mercy. But these simple cowherd girls are getting the mercy of Krishna, the fullest mercy of Krishna. So Uddhava is obviously thinking of himself. He's a counselor in Krishna's court, Krishna's assembly. Krishna asks him for advice. So he's a big man, you can say. He's a big man. But Krishna gives his full mercy to the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is their great, great fortune. And we also aspire to someday get their dust of their lotus feet on our heads. So let me recite this beautiful verse one more time. Nayam Sriyonga Unitantarate Prasada Swaryoshitam Nalinaganda Rucham Putonya Rasutsavesya Pujadanda Grihita Kanta Labdhashishamya Udagar Vrajasundarinam. Actually, this verse in the Bhagavatam, it's Vrajavallabhinam. So it seems like there are a couple of different versions of this. Prabhupada always quotes it, Vrajasundarinam. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Lila, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or the other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women who are very beautiful according to the material estimation. So, any questions? Madan Mohan Prabhu? Comments?
I recall one time Srila Prabhupada had said that the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement is to enter into the rasa dance.
Hmm.
So the goddess of fortune, she couldn't get in hundreds of tries. How are we to put those two ideas together?
Well, we have to be willing to give everything up. Apparently the goddess of fortune is not. Now, of course, there's a reason for that, because she's the goddess of fortune. She has her particular relationship with Krishna. And if she became a gopi, well, what would happen to Narayan? He'd lose his consort. So you could say, of course, there's a lesson. We're learning a lesson here. But you know, she can't give up her status, but there's a reason for that, because that's her tattva, you can say. In order to enjoy the rasa, she can't give up the tattva that she's in. That's eternal. And we always have these two considerations in looking at things, tattva and rasa. So you might say she's stuck in that tattva. She can't do anything about it.
So I guess for us it's the verse by Rupa Goswami, or he exemplified with the Ashabandha.
Yes, Ashabandha. Well, yes, for our position is Ashabandha. That's one of the symptoms of bhava. They're called anubhava. There are two kinds of anubhavas. Anu means to follow. So when you have bhava, then one of the things that happens is you have different ecstasies. Ashtasattvaka vikara, eight transformations. But another anubhava is different kinds of feelings that one manifests. It's like not wasting any time, that's the first one. Chantira vyarta kalatun. The first one is perseverance or tolerance. So one of those is Ashabandha. Literally it means bound by hope. Prabhupada called it hoping against hope. So that's a funny phrase, hoping against hope. Of course it's a common English expression, but it seems like it would be hoping against hopelessness. We should be hopeless, but we're hoping anyway. Hey Gopijana Vallabha Vyate Yate Ha Ha Madasha Eva Mam. It's a very wonderful verse. The Prema Shravanari Bhaktira Pivayo Gotava Vaishnavo. It's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The devotee prays, I have no love for Krishna, na prema. I haven't done my sadhana bhakti very well. I wasn't born in a good family. Basically, I have no good qualifications. But I'm praying to you, Gopi Jana Vallabha. Hey, Gopi Jana Vallabha. Yat yate yate, ha ha marash. You are the person who magnifies good qualities. So I'm praying that you'll be merciful to me, even though I have no qualification. So are we also, now Lakshmi Devi, she would have to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take shelter of the six Goswamis. That's how you get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's how you get the mercy of Krishna. So that's our good fortune, that we have that. We have the that magical touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu where we can attain the unattainable by His mercy.
In that verse, wasn't there something also about pain?
Pain?
That this hope is actually giving me.
Yeah, this hope is giving me great pain. That's good pain, though. It's like the viraha bhav, the separation from Krishna, the pain of the residence of Vrindavan. It's actually the deepest ecstasy. So pain. It's like we don't understand an ordinary thing. Sometimes something is hard to do, but you enjoy it because of what you're going to accomplish. So to get Krishna. In fact, it's interesting that in different places, I was reading that just recently, that maybe we were reading it in the 10th canto classes, that Krishna actually makes things hard sometimes for the residents of Vrindavan, because then they'll enjoy the fruit more, actually. If they have to work for it, you might say, to get Krishna's association, then it's even more relishable. So I was thinking, that kind of sounds like a mundane concept. I'm suffering, so when I get relief from my suffering, then it's so much that I feel good. But we know that there may be some shadow equivalent of its appearance between the spiritual and material, but the spiritual is on a different level altogether. So the Krishna has ways, they may appear to be similar to things that go on in this material world, but they're all for the effect of deepening the devotee's ecstasy and their attachment to him. The two are synonymous, actually. Our attachment or love for Krishna and our ecstasy, they go together. All right, let's stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.